The government's spending watchdog, the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council, has expressed concern about the government's plans to breach its own spending limits in October's budget. 2 weeks ago, the government announced that it would increase core public spending by 6.1% next year. That smashes the 5% limit it set for itself under its own spending rules. The chairman of the Fiscal Advisory Council, Professor Michael McMahon, has said he's worried about this proposal and has also expressed concern that spending windfall taxes on permanent measures risks repeating the mistakes of the past. I spoke to him earlier and asked him why it was important to keep spending increases below the limit of 5%.
Well, the idea of it is that we take a sort of more medium-term perspective, and 5% in euro terms is about what most economists would agree is the amount we should expect the economy to grow, plus the amount on average we should see inflation. So that's the idea, that we adjust the state spending reasonably in line with the medium-run trajectory of the economy.
Okay.
That's the idea of it. And it just helps make planning a bit easier, helps build credibility.
So when the government decides to go beyond the 5% spending limit, as it has decided to do next year, what are the implications of a decision like that for the economy?
Well, the value of a rule like the national spending rule, or there are other rules, most countries have some set of rules in their fiscal framework to build the credibility, to make their plans more predictable, to sort of help build that sense that there's a plan. Now, if you set your own rule, the benefits accrue when you stick to it. Setting a rule and then violating it repeatedly is not going to help so much with building that credibility. So that's the risk that's being taken.
The government's rationale, of course, for breaking its own rules at a time of high inflation, when people's living standards are under pressure, is that it wants to fund measures to protect the most vulnerable and to enhance public services. That's what it said. Those are important and worthy objectives too, aren't they?
Oh, they absolutely are. But again, you know, one aspect of good fiscal policy is that it is generally countercyclical, in the sense that when an economy is a bit more inflationary, you don't add to the demand. That doesn't mean you don't support the most vulnerable. You can absolutely do that. But the line we've always taken is that you need to make choices, and it's the lack of making those choices that leads to the breaking of the rule. So, for example, last year, there were clearly a lot of uncertainties and very high energy prices, and it made absolute sense to support the most vulnerable, and in fact, even more widely, people affected by the energy price increases. The case for supporting those as energy prices fall obviously has come down somewhat. It may still be the case that the government, and it is for the government as elected officials to make these decisions, that they need to decide who they want to support and how. But if they want to stick to their own rules, they're going to have to make some decisions elsewhere to counterbalance that.
What is the worst case scenario for breaking this rule, this spending rule?
Well, it's not some on-off switch where if the rule is 5% and you go to 5.1, that some switch is flicked and there's a cataclysmic economic disaster. But there are always, as Ireland has seen in the fairly recent past, there are things that can change pretty quickly in the macroeconomic environment. And it's in those moments where having a credible, well-thought-of fiscal framework can really pay off. We saw it in COVID. COVID was a massive shock. The government provided, and rightly so, massive supports to the economy. And it was able to do that partly because the government was trusted and there was a sense that these were the right things to do. If you build a reputation for not being credible, particularly over a long run, and you suddenly then get in a position where you need to, say, borrow a lot of money or provide a lot of supports, that may be much more costly in terms of the borrowing costs, or even just the availability of the money. So that's the risk. And one of the big risks facing Ireland right now is a huge reliance on corporation tax that's concentrated in a few sectors and among a very small number of firms. If that were to disappear, I think there would be a big shock to deal with.
That was the chairman of the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council, Professor Michael McMahon, speaking to me earlier. Finance Minister Michael McGrath is with me now in studio. Minister, good afternoon. Welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Justin.
We often describe the Fiscal Advisory Council as a watchdog, watching over the government's public spending decisions. The dog is barking now. It's warning you that you're making a mistake by breaking your own spending limits for next year, that you risk damaging credibility. Why aren't you listening?
We are, of course, listening. The Fiscal Advisory Council is a really important statutory body. They are completely independent of government, and it is their function to set out their views, and that is what they continue to do. And the government does listen very carefully to what they have to say. But government has a wider mandate. We have to govern the country, and we have to make decisions that we believe are on balance in the public interest. The Fiscal Council last year supported the government decision to make an adjustment to the spending rule for budget 2023. They described it at the time as being sensible because of the exceptionally high inflation that we were experiencing at that time and continue to experience. But we do believe that we have struck the right balance here between supporting households, supporting businesses, protecting living standards, protecting the real value of public services, while at the same time not stoking inflation at a time when it is thankfully falling. And I would also make the overall point, when you look at this in the round, from the beginning of last year to the end of next year, we are projecting that we will have budget surpluses of around 30 billion euro. We can be reasonably confident that that will be achieved. The further into the future you go in terms of projections, the less certain they are. And you might ask, what have we done with that? We've put 6 billion euro into a national reserve fund. We've reduced the national debt by 10 billion euro. We've provided exceptional support to households, to businesses during COVID, during the cost of living crisis caused by the war in Ukraine. And now we are setting up a long-term savings fund to protect and safeguard the country's public finances into the future.
But you're also making a short-term decision to break your own spending limits. The Fiscal Advisory Council's job is to look into the long term, and it's saying that you're spending money today that you might need in the future to pay for healthcare for an older population or to make up a pension shortfall as people get older. Aren't they right?
But that is precisely why we are putting funding away for the future, and the Fiscal Advisory Council support that, the policy of setting up a long-term savings fund to meet the costs that we know are coming our way in the future. And if you look, for example, at what we're doing in the summer economic statement, what we've proposed for budget 2024, is that essentially when you strip away all of the windfall corporation tax receipts, we are still running a balanced budget. So we are projecting next year, even after expenditure growth of just over 6%, that we will have a budget surplus of 11.7 billion euros. So essentially, all of the receipts that we have identified as being potentially transitory, volatile, windfall in nature are not being spent. Those funds are being put away to provide for the future costs that we know for sure are coming our way. But I think it is important to say that the construct of that spending rule, which was a rule designed by government, was based on a certain assumption in relation to inflation. So we departed from it last year because inflation was running at about four times the assumed rate in the rule. The assumed rate was 2%. Last year, inflation was 8%. This year, it will come in on average at around 5%. And next year, it will also be above the 2% assumed rate. So that's the basis of the adjustment. And if we want to protect living standards, if we want to support the provision of good quality public services, this is a modest adjustment that we believe is the right thing to do. And when you put it in the context of the overall provision that we're making for the future, I think we've got the balance right.
Now, IFAC says the rationale for one-off spending in the budget on things like energy credits, it's not as strong this year because energy prices are falling, wholesale prices at least are falling. Are people going to get help with their energy bills in the upcoming budget?
So I anticipate that people will see an improvement in two different ways. Given the dramatic fall in wholesale prices, we will begin to see a pass-through of that to retail customers, to households and businesses, and that can't come soon enough. And then we as a government have to decide what our role is and what can we do to support households. And if you look at what we've done so far, the reduction in VAT on gas and electricity bills, we've had four different electricity credits at this point in time.
And can people expect a more credits this year.
If I just finish, we've expanded the fuel allowance scheme, and of course we've enhanced the retrofitting scheme as well, because ultimately we want to reduce people's bills in the long term, that they're consuming less energy, and we have the business energy support scheme which will end at the end of this month. We also have given the commitment that any revenues that we collect from the windfall gains of energy companies will be given back to people. So we need to decide what is the correct mix, but I do expect that the government will be providing additional support to households in the context of the budget. We have a number of different levers at our disposal, from tax and expenditure and different supports that we've used before and may use in the future. So we will decide what is the right mix, but we also want to see the market responding by passing on the wholesale reductions to consumers, and come early October we will then come to a final view about what is an appropriate government response. But it is an unavoidable cost that households are facing, and that is why I do anticipate that the government will be providing support to households to meet the energy bills in the months ahead.
Okay, all households?
That's a decision that we have yet to make, but we have so far introduced four different electricity credits, which I think have proven to be effective and successful. And we also, of course, had the reduction in VAT on gas and electricity. So that was a universal measure also. But we did complement that then with a whole range of targeted supports, expanding the eligibility to the fuel allowance scheme, making one-off payments to people who receive the fuel allowance.
So there are different ways that we can do it. Is it time for you to call in the energy companies now? We've seen wholesale electricity prices fall by 35%, and that is not being passed on to people when they're paying their electricity bills. Is it time to call in the energy companies and ask them what's going on?
Well, Minister Eamon Ryan has ongoing engagement with the energy companies, and he has been discussing these issues with them. And we do expect, as a government, that consumers receive the benefit of what have been dramatic falls in wholesale energy prices. You know, we have seen prices fall now to a level that essentially is before where we were when the war started, and yet consumers have not benefited from that. So we understand that it can take time. Companies have entered into different commercial arrangements, futures contracts, hedging and so on, but that doesn't fully explain the significant lag in passing on that benefit now to consumers, and we want to see that happen, and the government is engaging with those companies.
I want to ask you about a couple of other things, starting with the controversy over payments to in RTE and a possible problem coming down the track in relation to the TV licence and possible non-payment of that. Your colleague, the Minister for the Media, Catherine Martin, is seeking an additional €16 million to fund RTE. It was reported in the Irish Times this weekend that ministers have suggested that RTE needs to cut its own costs before you would be prepared to sanction or grant that additional funding. Is that your view?
Look, it's been a really difficult time for everyone at RTE, and we have made it clear consistently that the government will continue to support public service broadcasting. It is the bedrock of our democracy. It is vital that we continue to fund it and support it, and the government will do that. I can't give any open-ended commitment in relation to additional Exchequer support. I have no doubt in the coming weeks, as part of the estimates process, Minister Martin and Minister Donoghue will be engaging directly on these issues.
But do you believe RTE needs to get its house in order, to cut its own costs, to show that it's capable of managing its finances before you will grant any more money?
Well, RTE needs to demonstrate that it is reforming and that it is changing. We need to see the governance structures change and be improved. I anticipate that that will happen. We've now two separate independent reviews being set up by government, and we want to see those come to fruition and those reports be fully implemented.
Okay. You spoke on Friday about the need for more Gardaí to be put on the streets. I don't know if you heard Antoinette Cunningham on the programme earlier, but she said that the policing model needs to be looked at. It is a policing model which is reactive rather than proactive, and that's a model that was designed and signed off by the government, and that needs to be changed first.
Well, I think the important message here from government is that we support our Gardaí. They have a really difficult job on the front line, and it is important that we engage with them, that we listen to the representative bodies, and Minister McEntee has made it clear that all options will be examined, including in relation to the age restrictions for joining on Garda Síochána, for example, examining can we accelerate civilianisation in terms of certain roles, and what more can we do to get more Gardaí out and about on the beat, which I believe is where the majority of them want to be. And clearly we are implementing now a very significant recruitment campaign. We want to speed that up. In the last two budgets, I would have provided funding for the recruitment of about 1,800 Gardaí. Templemore is now fully up and running, and we are seeing a significant intake coming into the training college every couple of months.
All right, before I let you go, is it still your intention to increase the VAT rate for the tourism sector? Currently, it's at 9%. That reduced VAT rate has cost the Exchequer around 1.2 billion euro so far. Is it your intention to increase that VAT rate?
So when the government made the decision back in February to extend the lower rate for a further 6 months, we made it clear, and I think it was important to be straight with the sector and everybody involved, that was the final extension. That was the government decision. The Oireachtas has now legislated, so the decision has been made and will be implemented at the end of August.
There's no going back on that?
No, the Oireachtas has passed the required legislation and the VAT rate will go back up. I think it's acknowledged the government has provided extensive support to the sector during COVID and indeed during the cost of living crisis, and I've no doubt they will have other ideas and other asks that will be considered in the context of the budget, but it's important we are straight and clear with people. That change has been decided upon, legislated and will be given effect.
Finance Minister Michael McGrath, thank you for coming in to talk to us
today.
After the break, why the campaigns officer with the Irish Wildlife Trust has resigned.